Webinar with Adam R. Welcome to 3PNR. I'm your host, Adam R. And joining me for this episode is John Curley with the Paranormal Journal. How you doing, John?
What's going on, Adam? How you feeling, buddy?
Doing well. Like I was discussing before we got in the podcast, Florida, it's 90 degrees and it's 60 degrees and it rains and it's hot. I mean, I love Florida, so I'm not going to complain too much, but.
Jealous, man. It's freezing up here. It's snowing.
you were saying those are the alternatives too, right? Because I hate snow. I hate cold weather. So
yeah, the north up here, east coast, it sucks for us. We get the rain, we get the ice, snow. We get the whole trifecta of garbage weather, so.
Yeah, and then when it gets hot up there, it gets hot.
Yeah, it gets really humid. Like down in Florida, it gets really humid and just unbearable sometimes.
Yeah. So you have the Paranormal Journal. I stumbled on this. I like it. Definitely, I'm going to, in description, I'll have links for it. So when people would want to find you, what got you on the path in investigating the paranormal?
It wasn't even really about ghosts when I got into paranormal. I actually seen a UFO when I was a kid. I was about 15 years old. I lived in Baltimore, and you know, I just lived in an inner city little community in Baltimore called Hamden. And I was just walking down the main street and seen a UFO above this big oak tree. I just happened to look up, caught it out of the corner of my eye, and it was just sitting there and this bluish kind of light, like pulsing in and out, and made no sound. And I'm glad I never took my eye off of it. I was walking with my cousin and I never took my eye off of it, but I was reaching over to touch him and say, hey, man, look at this, look at this. And when I did, it took off, like, incredible speed. There's no way that any human can withstand that kind of G-force. They would be crushed and probably liquefied in about a second, you know? I mean, it went that fast, and out of sight, probably. And, oh, my God, it probably went thousands of miles in less than a second. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of ufology people, and where the consensus is that they're not actually moving with, you know, propulsion, that rather they're using a vibration or a frequency. And so the way they travel is incredibly fast because they don't have to, certain physics don't apply to them. So
yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I seen the direction it went in, but I mean, it went out of sight in less than a second. It was unbelievable. And from that point on, I was just like, man, this stuff is incredible. Like this stuff was like Star Wars. I mean, I was 15. I'm almost 50 now. So, you know, I compared it to like Star Wars when he went into light speed. You know, I was like, oh my God, dude, like this stuff is real. There are real aliens. And up to then, I didn't believe in any of it. But once I seen that, I was like, it opened me up to reading about UFOs and cryptids like Bigfoot and studying the Patterson-Gimlin footage and all that stuff and got me into ghosts. And I actually found out that my grandfather's house was haunted. I mean, we always had these weird feelings in there, but we never knew it was haunted until we got older and our parents had told us, you know, hey, yeah, you know, there's feelings, you're feeling, the house was haunted. I'm like, oh, well, thanks for telling us now that we're grown, you know, but, but yeah, I mean, it led me into the paranormal stuff with ghosts and stuff, which was, well, I mean, I thought it was incredible. It's just something I wanted to get into. To see something like that at a young age, it kind of changes your mind about things. You know, you're just like, wow, this really exists. And, you know, I never experienced we experienced little paranormal things as kids, you know, in my grandfather's house, but not like we seen anything, you know, we didn't see ghosts or, you know, it was just a weird feeling like somebody was watching you all the time on the second floor. And lo and behold, my mother had said, you know, I see my mother. My grandmother passed away before I was born. She died really young, like 45, and actually died a year before I was born. And my mother said on the second floor, she went to the bathroom. My grandfather had a long hallway that went to the bathroom. And every time you go to the bathroom, you would come out, you get to the end of the hall. It always felt like someone was there watching you. And all of us felt that way. All my cousins, everybody felt that way. So my mother, I told my mother about this years later, and she was like, yeah, well, 2 weeks after my mother died, I went to the bathroom. I came out of the bathroom. I got to the end of the hallway, and I turned around. It just felt like someone was looking. I turned around, and it was my mother. My mother was standing there. And I think that's the feeling that all of us felt the same way, you know, and she was, yeah, it was probably my mother, which was our grandmother.
Right.
So, I mean, it was interesting. And that kind of launched me into really digging into paranormal stuff, reading. There wasn't a whole lot of things back then you could really watch about paranormal. You know, you had to read it.
Right.
It was like the Amityville Horror, the Entity Case, you know, all these books that came out in the 80s. But you had to read about them more than you could watch it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's true. I'm glad you said that, because years ago, when you wanted to research or do any kind of study on the paranormal or even ufology for that matter, it would require going to a library, and then you would hope that the book you picked would have good information in it. Today, you have the complete opposite side of the spectrum. Now there's just so much material out there, YouTube, TV, and it makes it hard to discern the difference between what's real or not with today's technology, right? It's kind of, I watch videos and I think visually they're amazing. But then you have to question, like, well, is that real? Because I feel like I could do that on my computer. So it's put us in a strange position, right? Because
I mean, it really has. I mean, it's just like you can come across some really amazing evidence, which I have over the years. I've been investigating since 2000. Not as a group, but, you know, I've met the founder of the Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society over a meetup. They didn't really have paranormal groups. I don't even think Ghost Hunters was out when we started. We lived near Gettysburg. So we would go out on the battlefield and investigate the battlefield. And just at first, just trying to debunk things. But then, you know, we're hearing phantom gunfire and cannon fire and EVPs. We're catching voices. And, you know, we're just like, wow, this stuff's really real, you know? And me and Don were like, well, let's start a group. And investigate haunted locations. I was like, man, that's a great idea, dude. Let's do it. And lo and behold, you know, we started the Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society in 2006, and it's been running pretty strong ever since.
So for me, I've never witnessed anything. Eventually, I'm going to go out and do a documentary, right? Because for me, it's good enough. I see one ghost, I'm good. I know what happens after sin. There's no question for me. But for you, so when you started getting out there and investigating, what was the first thing that had a really profound effect on you? Something that you came across, no doubt, ghosts are real.
Hearing a disembodied voice was probably the biggest thing at first. We heard things on the battlefield, but you always got to debunk things because there's tourists. There's a lot of activity on the battlefield nowadays. And so you really got to, you figure out, was that someone in the woods over? Because, you know, sounds travel through the woods. And so you really got to be able to figure out if it's really an EVP or it's not, you know? So, but we got our first case as just our team. And we had a residential home in Westminster, Maryland. And man, the first time, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing. You know what I mean? This is like, not like nowadays, you know, you can go on and see how other teams investigate. Wasn't really a whole lot of guidelines to really go by. So, right. You know, we're in a house and I'm like, you know, this lady allegedly got assaulted by a ghost. She got smacked in her bedroom by an unseen force. They moved out of the house. They said, we're not coming back. Here's the key. The house is empty. There's no power. There's no water, nothing. So we actually had to take a generator to the house to get power for our camera system. And mind you, the camera systems back then, they suck pretty bad. They're not very good. You know, they're just a regular old infrared, you know, it's no high definition like it is now. You have 4K, you have all kinds of stuff now that's incredible. So I had like four cameras, a couple digital voice recorders, not a whole lot, you know.
Right.
But we're investigating. So, you know, I'm in there and nothing's going on. It's around 2 a.m, you know, I'm just like, tired of it. I'm just like, man, do something to me, man. Make a noise. Say something. Do something. You cowered around in the dark and smack a woman. Smack me. You know, do something. Right. And all of a sudden, this moan kind of let out in the room like, ooh. It was freaky. I was like, whoa. And I looked over at Don. He's like, what was that, dude? I was like, I don't know, man. That sounds like emanating out of the wall. And it was just freaky. I had every hair on my arm standing up. I mean, it was freaky. I was just like, whoa. And then from that point on, it was just like the activity took off. We had all kinds of things happening. We were in and out of that investigation for probably almost a half a year, about 6 months. And every time we went back, it got more and more and more and more. We just, it was incredible. For our first case, we couldn't really believe it.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine it got more intense because you're kind of aggravating it, right? In the eyes of this spirit, you're in its home, right? And it's probably, what's this guy doing? Yeah. Why are you in here making a ruckus? So,
yeah.
And I discussed this with other people before. The idea that they're, you know, for us, it looks like it's gloomy, it's dark, but for them, it's perfect daylight, right? It looks normal to them, right? We're the ones, it's our perception, it's altered. So imagine you're harassing these entities, right? You're bothering them. So I can imagine the intensity of that. So you're, over the course of 20 years, which is a long time to study, and I ask a lot of these guys this, how many different times did you come across something like what I call the take it to court evidence?
Probably I had a Civil War mansion that I would run for this owner. He owned the Civil War mansion called the Landon House. It was in Frederick, Maryland. And this place was super old, built in 1756. And, you know, it was just super old. It was a big part of the Civil War. I believe it was part of the Battle of Antietam. The Confederates occupied it at one point, and then the Union ran them out, and then the Union soldiers occupied the building. But this place was so haunted, probably one of the most haunted places I've ever been in 20 years. Just the amount of activity that would happen was phenomenal. And I captured a lot of this stuff on audio. Unfortunately, I never captured much on video, but I seen a lot of things, these shadow figures I've seen on like three different occasions there. And
what's the name of that location again?
The Landon House. It's in Urbana, Maryland.
Landon House. Okay.
It's a old Civil War plantation. It is freaking awesome, man. I mean, the activity there is off the charts. The guy that owns it now, he foreclosed on it and someone bought it. Now it's private and you can't get in there, but
I'll find a way. And I'm pretty aggressive.
Telling you, man, if you can get in there, call me, dude. That place loves me, man. I've been there. I've ran it for about 5 to 7 years. And, oh my God, every time I went there, it was incredible. And, I mean, just voices whistling, shadow figures. I mean, you see shadow people in there. I've seen it three different times, really close to me, within 20 feet of me. I've seen them and, scared the hell out of me. There's no features to them.
Right.
They're just black. I'd say they're darker than the night, and they are. But there's an intelligence with them that's amazing. Are they ghosts? I don't know. Are they demonic? I don't know. All I know is I never had anything bad happen when I seen them, but I know it was weird to look at them head on. You know, it's a weird looking thing. You know, you just like there's a silhouette of a person, but there's no details. It's just black. It's this mass. You know, that's
right.
It's just there. You're looking at it. And you're like, oh my God.
But that's what I need. I need to go there and see that.
That place is amazing. I mean, I'd love to get back in there. I'd say if I would have had the money to buy that place, it would be mine. You know, I mean, that's how much I love it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm an unusually aggressive person. I'm going to try to get in there. Because when I do get out, I'm eventually going to do a documentary. That's the idea, speaking with everyone I've spoken to in a podcast and developing a network. So I have an idea where to go as opposed to aimlessly wandering. And places like that are on my map. That's the map I'm creating. So I'll get in there one way or the other.
Yeah, definitely give me a shout, man, because I'll be there. That's for damn sure, because that place is incredible. I mean, one night, this thing was really, whatever's in the house, I mean, there's multiple spirits in the house. There's a lot of Civil War stuff. There's a woman that haunts the house. The woman really, really vocal. And so was some of the soldiers. Like I used to whistle Dixie in there because it was a Confederate stronghold. And there's still Civil War drawings on the wall in this location too. The Civil War soldiers drew on the walls right before the Battle of Antietam. And they're still there to this day, which is awesome. And, So I whistled Dixie walking through the mansion, and one night I was whistling and something whistled back, but it wasn't Dixie. It was a different tune. And I was like, whoa, somebody's whistling. I thought somebody came into the house. I'm like, there's no way someone came in here. I had the doors locked. So I searched down the other end. I didn't see anybody. And, you know, I didn't really make out what it sounded like at the beginning. But when I went home, I was going over the audio and luckily I had a recorder down there recording and I captured it. And it was this whistle. It was like, like that. You know what I mean? And
right.
Lo and behold, man, when I went back, I said, I go back, I'm going to whistle that tune, see if I can get a response. And I'm not kidding you. The first time I whistled it, I got a response in the next room over. I'm like, oh my God. And I captured all this stuff on recording. I'm like, oh my. I'm figuring, oh, maybe it's an echo. You know, because the place is huge. Not a lot of furniture in there. I'm going to whistle something else. A couple different tunes to try to debunk that, you know. And I whistled all these different tunes. Nothing coming back. Whistled that tune again, and it whistled again down on the floor below. I'm like, no way, man. No way. And we're recording it, and it's moving with us. Wherever we're moving, it's moving, and we're hearing it. And it's just like, it's unbelievable. I'd have to send you the clips and let you hear it, but it's amazing.
I got to go to these places, man. So that's what I'm excited about. Because, you know, for me, it's not that I haven't witnessed anything, but then again, I really haven't gone and looked, right? Because prior to this podcast, I shot pool, I hung out with friends, I drank alcohol. I was always fascinated by these subjects. I just never did much about it. And then COVID came around, and then I had ample time to kind of sit back and watch documentaries and listen to stuff. And that's when I was like, I'm going to start a podcast. And then based on who I speak to in the podcast, I can build a roadmap and a network, and I can do a documentary. And when I say documentary, and I said this on the show a lot, I'm eventually going to see something, and I'm going to go running right at it because I need to know. I will not sleep at night if I don't know. So that place piques my interest. How often were you going there?
Oh, man, I spent a lot of almost every weekend there. I was there investigating, trying to figure out things, and it was just amazing. The amount of stuff that you would hear is just disembodied voices. I mean, like, you know, it's hard to come by a disembodied voice in a location. When you do, it's amazing. You know, you hear a voice just like we're talking out loud, and you're like, whoa, that's something directly responding to you. You know, you're asking a question, it's responding back vocally.
Right.
A lot of times, these EVPs, they're coming in below a hertz level that's really below human range of speaking or hearing. You know, anything below 20 hertz is below the human hearing range. Now you're talking about you're in the animal range of hearing.
Right.
And you put these EVPs on a spectrogram, and it's registering below 20 hertz, which is well beyond what we can speak or hear, which is amazing in itself, you know. And you're like, how the hell are they doing it? And it's got to be by sound waves or reverberal noises and things like that, which I've noticed that they can use reverberal noises. A lot of people say it's like audio pareidolia or something, some ridiculous thing like that. But
right,
you got to figure, if you're dead and you no longer have a body or a voice box, how else would you communicate? It would be through sound waves, correct?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a form of pure energy.
Yeah. You would communicate through a sound wave, and you don't have a vocal box anymore to create these voices. You're going to have to use whatever you can to create a vocalization. So it's definitely using reverberal noises. Just you moving, like just me touching like the mic, like can if they can use it. It's unbelievable how they do it, but well, they do it.
I said this a lot too, you know, for the idea of like my personal belief or what I've come, not belief, it's more like what I've, a theory I've pondered, came like, well, my opinion anyway. I think our soul and our consciousness are the same thing. I think it's just raw energy. And when you pass, that energy leaves the vessel. I mean, the body, all my machine's not working. It's time for me to move on to wherever it may be. Point being is, if there's ghosts that are left behind, if they want to touch you, whether it be a pleasant touch or a non-pleasant touch, it's going to feel the same because they have to manipulate energy to touch you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something that lives on past the physical body, whether it's your subconscious mind or something else. There's definitely something else. You know what I mean? It's something else. But what it is, I don't think we're ever really going to know it until it's your time
right.
to go.
Or eventually, you know, like people like Elon Musk, who I think his intentions with Neuralink are to help people with brain injury. And then eventually it's going to be a way to communicate without words. But what happens when you bridge the gap between consciousness and subconscious? What happens when those barriers don't no longer exist? You know, if you think about your dreams, you know, you're having chemical responses in your sleep and it's portraying images. And your brain, like the complex computer is, if some entity wants to communicate with you, it's going to use your receptor, your brain. It's going to try to infiltrate where it can easily. So imagine now you bridge the gap between the subconscious and consciousness, and now you're able to perceive things you used to not be able to perceive. That's a scary thought.
Yeah, it's definitely scary. I know this whole AI thing is kind of, I think Elon Musk is into like AI and stuff like that. So who knows how that's going to interact with that kind of stuff as well. You know,
right.
It's a totally weird subject, you know, and pseudoscience, really. This is just a pseudoscience. It's not even a science doing right. paranormal investigations. Scientists won't even touch this because they can't recreate it.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of hard to recreate something that's unpredictable. This stuff's unpredictable when it happens, how it happens, where it happens, when it happens. So to try to contain it, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, when something paranormal happens, it just happens. There's no really rhyme or reason. I hear people say a lot of things, you know, oh, it's moon phases, it's this, it's that, it's that. You don't have any explanation for it. We're no closer to finding an answer to this as we were 50 years ago.
No,
we're not any closer.
It's going to take a brilliant mind to, like, an example, not even my own idea. This is the idea of my nephew. When you lay your head on your pillow and you put, say, your phone under the bed and you play music, that sound waves traveling through the mattress, it's muffled, but you hear it a little bit better. Now, if you put your phone on your bed and you play music and you bury it in the covers, you put your head deep into the pillow, that sound waves traveling in your mind. The point of this is your brain's hollow. It already has the configuration of a computer if you look at it under, you know, CT scan or otherwise. So it's definitely a receptor, that's why I think some people are, I think everyone has the ability to be psychic. They all have the hardware. They just lack the software, you know, so to speak. And so by him saying that, now imagine an entity that really wants to communicate with you. And some people are like, well, that guy's just crazy. Well, no, because if they really wanted to direct a sound to you, just for you, it's feasible because
it is,
you know, based on that whole, you know, my nephew put the phone on the bed and put your head on the pillow and you could hear the sounds in your head. Well, if they focus their energy, they could convey messages directly to you in my opinion, or at least in theory.
I've had it happen. That's weird you said that, because I did a case in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and this is probably one of my most riveting cases I've been on over the last 20 years, where, I mean, it's tragic. There's a tragedy. There's just a lot of weird stuff with the house. And I don't think it's as much as the house as it's directed around an individual, but we're in an investigation. We're doing the investigation. And I'll start out, this happened back in 2014. And it's still ongoing today. We're still investigating this house. It's an amazing house, but it's scary, amazing, and all this all in one. So we get a call. They're seeing a woman in the house. They're seeing a man in the house. They're seeing this woman in black with no face. Really creepy stuff. Hearing disembodied voices, kid crying. They hear like a small child crying. Wakes the whole family up 2-3 o'clock in the morning. This kid's wailing. They're searching the house for a kid. They're like, where's this kid crying at? They're looking outside. They're looking in. Can't find anything. And this is going on and on. A couple of nights it happens, and then all of a sudden it just stops, and then they're seeing this woman. So they call us out. We investigate. First night, we're investigating. We're 4 hours away from where we live, up near Pittsburgh. It's just quiet. We're not experiencing anything, this phenomena that they're having. We did notice they had a Ouija board. They did say they had played with the Ouija board and things happened with the Ouija board, stuff like that. So we seen the Ouija board. I said, yeah, let's pull it out. Let's look at it, see what it is, you know. So we're looking at it. As an investigator, I want to see if the thing works. So we get on the Ouija board. I said, let's see if it works. I'm totally skeptical about all that kind of crap. So I'm like, all right, let's put our hands on it. We put our hands on it. Nothing happens. We don't have anything move. We did it for over an hour. Nothing happens. I'm like, well, that just kind of shoots my theory right there that, you know, maybe this is not what it's all cracked up to be. So whole night goes by. Uneventful. We didn't have anything happen. Nothing paranormal that we knew of. We go home, we start reviewing the evidence. And lo and behold, when we're messing with the Ouija board, we capture a voice on our camera on the second floor. No one's on the second floor. It's just three investigators, and we're all on the first floor. But we hear a voice directly in one of the cameras say, I'll kill his kids. This man's voice, like, I'll kill his kids.
Damn.
And I'm like, whoa, dude. And not only did I capture it on a video camera, we captured it on three other recording devices as well. So it was a disembodied voice. It was that loud. We didn't hear it when we were downstairs, but two voice recorders called it and a video camera called it. And we're just like, whoa, man. And right after that, we caught a woman saying, I want my baby, like really in despair. Like, I want my baby. Like she was kind of like really in despair, you know, this voice. And we're like, oh, my God, dude, like, they were experiencing something. We captured this stuff. We didn't hear it, but we captured it. You know, we're just like, oh, my God. But the I'll kill his kids thing was totally creepy. I've never heard anything like that in years of investigating.
Did you vet that location, like any history on it?
Did. We went into the location and did the history on it, and nothing bad ever happened there.
Huh.
There were murders that happened around that location, which kind of coincide that maybe something happened in the house, but it never got documented. We did find out that there was a mother and a small child that was murdered by a cult, and their body was found not far from their home, but not in their home. But I'm thinking maybe something happened. Maybe it happened in there and the bodies were moved and maybe thrown away somewhere, you know. It was weird, but, you know, I got with the family and I said, look, we got this boy saying, I'll kill his kids. And the husband, very nice family, very loving family. I'm really good friends with the family now. And, but I explained to him, you might want to move because I've never heard of any ghost saying it was going to kill somebody, you know, like saying, I'll kill your kids, you know? And the husband's a big guy. He's about 6'5". 300 some pound. He's a big dude. And he's like, I ain't worried about no damn ghost. You know, he's like, ain't no ghost going to do anything to me or my family. And I was like, okay. You know, I was like, I'm just letting you know, Dean, you know, his name is Dean.
Right.
And he's like, I understand. He goes, thank you for telling us this stuff and letting us know what's going on. I said, yeah, we did verify that there is something going on. We only did one investigation. We like to keep investigating. And they were like, sure, sure, we'll let you know. And that was it. 2 months later, I get a call. It's the mother. She's pretty upset. And they find their daughter dead in the attic. She was 14 years old. And blew me away. I was blown away, man. I was just like, oh, my God. She died.
What was the cause of death?
Said it was a heart attack.
14.
She had a heart condition, an undiagnosed heart condition. But whatever was in the house was really messing with her the most. She would come out of the room screaming that she woke up and there was a face above hers and seeing this woman in black. And when she'd come out of the room and knocked over the TV, you know, just running away from whatever was in the attic because she slept in the attic. And I just thought, you know, automatically in my mind, it popped up that maybe this thing had something to do with it. Maybe it scared her to death to cause her to have a heart attack. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, it sounds predatory. And think about this. You're a ghost. To the best of my knowledge, you're limited in what you can do to do harm. Now, imagine this ghost, probably a serial killer, right? More than likely a serial killer that passed on. Because I always ask. That's one of the things I always ask.
It's possible.
Yeah. So imagine it's passed on, and it knows now. It sees someone vulnerable. She's vulnerable. She has a sickness, and I could actually harm her by all I have to do is get her, you know, excited or overly emotional or scare her, because if she has a heart condition, that's an MO for him. He's got the way to get to it. So probably that's why she got the most attention from it. Most serial killers, and I speak to a lot of the homicide detectives on the show. If you ever look in history, they live somewhere. You don't even realize that they're that, right?
Yeah.
And they patrol their neighborhoods, or I guess they hunt in their neighborhoods, right? They're predatory. And then they have their home or some home they go to where they treat it as a sanctuary. So very well could be that house was where that predator was, you know, calm, relaxed, and it groomed its victims, and then it killed them elsewhere. And it just happened to be in its little place where it sees this girl who has a vulnerability. And sure, I mean, it's what a predator is, right? They take advantage of when they see an advantage to be taken.
Yeah, take an opportunity to do something and they'll do it.
Right.
And they were all seeing the same man in the house too, which the husband seen it and the wife had seen him in the basement. They described him as this big guy, kind of dirty looking, wore this old kind of hats that, I forgot what the hell they call them. They have a rim around them, but they're kind of round from like the early, probably maybe 1900s.
Right. Like a bowler cap.
Yeah. A bowler cap. Exactly. Right. And they both seen the same guy in the basement. And she said, he gave them both this like evil kind of smirk. And then at one point she said he was standing there with a cigar, like sitting on the steps staring at her. And she was freaked out, and he just disappeared. I mean, this is the kind of thing that was going on. You know, then she passes away. They want us to come back. So I was like, okay, you know, we'll come back. So we came back. This time we came back totally different feel. We walked into the house. I talked with them. You know, it was kind of emotional, and, you know, we went back and forth talking about things, and, you know, it was a sad moment. And, yeah. You know, we said, well, we'll investigate. And they had left. And sorry about that. I hit the camera there. And they had left. So we started investigating. And probably around 3 in the morning, it was quiet up to about 3, something around there. And we were on the second floor where we were catching a lot of these EVPs was on the second floor. So I said, let's get down the stairs and do some stuff down there. I was like, all right, I'm going to go take a leak, you know. So I get on the bathroom and take a leak. And I shut the door. I'm in there handling my business. And, you know, I just, this breeze comes on me. Like someone opened the door and kind of rushed, you know, somebody rushes up on you. You'll feel the air kind of come up on you, you know.
Right.
And it kind of startled me a little bit. And I turned around and there was no one there. I was like, that's kind of weird, you know. So I just kept on handling my business, and, you know, next thing I know, I hear this voice in my ear, man, almost like, I can almost feel like someone's lips, like, touching my ear, like, and it said the creepiest thing, and it sounded almost like the voice, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Exorcist, but her voice when she's possessed, it kind of sounded like that, and it said, like, there are many, but I am one, like, right in my ear, man, I couldn't get my pants off fast enough to get out of that room. You know, I mean, I freaking jumped out, ran out of the bathroom. I've never had that happen ever. I mean, I can almost feel like breath on my face. You know, that's how up close and personal this thing was with me. And that's in a bathroom. You know, you're not expecting something like that to happen in a bathroom. But then again, a paranormal event can happen anywhere at any time. So here it is. It's happening to me in a bathroom, you know, while I'm taking a leak. You know, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. You know, I'm like, but it scared the hell out of me. I never heard anything like that in my life.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's ghosts are that's the line, right? You don't want to piss them off because let's break it down. If I saw an alien and it didn't have in its technology was subtracted from the situation, I feel like I could beat it up. If I saw a Bigfoot, I feel like that's something a shotgun can't handle. But a ghost,
yeah.
What are you gonna do about that? It's gonna sit there. What if? And I said this on the show before. Forget the step. Just remove the idea of evil. What if it's an obnoxious pain in the ass like myself, and it realizes you can hear it, and the minute it does, it decides to sing the same song over and over again. You'll lose your mind, you know?
Like, yeah.
What? And it's not, and I'm not knocking religion. I am going to be speaking to an archbishop and a reverend and some other people involved, so I'm going to get their perspective. But for me personally, just like humans are here, when other things die, their energy remains behind. So this is a 4 billion-ish-year-old planet. And who knows what things lived here prior to us, right?
Exactly. Well,
something that predates mankind and religion. So what if you're spitting religious jargon at this entity and it's looking at you like, what the hell good is that? What does that even mean? That means nothing to me, right? It predates religion. So I think to be aggressive with ghosts, I don't see the pluses there. I mean, I seen a show where this guy is like pulling his shirt, like, yeah, come fight me. I'm like, what are you, nuts?
Yeah. Yeah. I did the same kind of dumb stuff when I first started, and I learned a lot from doing it because I didn't know any better. You know, I'm just like, why am I doing that? I'm never doing it. When I heard that moment, I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, because think about it. Think about an antagonist, right? A jokester. Someone like me. Like I tell my family, and I apologize to all of you in advance, family wise. Because if I pass and I'm still here, you better believe I'm going to bother you. It's what I do. Little things, like for me, what would be a nightmare ghost? Finding all my stuff misplaced. I like my shit left to right, right? So, yeah. And they would recognize that. Like, well the noises don't get this guy, but we move his stuff around. Well, that's going to be some fun for a while. So,
yeah.
That's the way I know what? It.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
You know, the thing about it is we really don't know the capabilities of what these things, what they can really do. Can they hurt you? Possibly, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I've never been hurt by any, but, you know, they can move objects and heavy objects. And could they move you as well? Damn right they could. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
There's that what if, can one of these things really kill you? There's always the what if.
Well, the most powerful things on this planet right now aren't physical beings. Lightning will end you. A hurricane will end you. A tornado. We've seen examples of this, and that's just the power of energy. Sure. Now, you're talking about a previously living thing that's now made of, pure energy.
Yeah.
And if it gets smart enough, there has to be a learning curve, right? You can't just die, be a ghost, and like automatically know how to touch someone. You know, these are things you learn. There was a movie. What movie was that? I was a kid. Yeah, Ghost, when I was a kid.
Yep.
They were on a train, and he was trying to teach them how to move stuff, right? Something to that nature. Now you teach it to the wrong person, just like in real life. You could teach a human being how to use a bow and arrow to hunt, but it's good. Yeah. But then you put the bow and arrow at one guy who just wants to kill human beings. It's not going to work out well. So
you got this weird thing in their mind that's not wired like ours. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, as is here, as is there, right? That's how I look at it.
I always hear a lot of people talking about demons and demonic things and possession. You know, over 20 plus years investigating, I've never seen a possession. I've never seen demons. I mean, I've seen stuff that'll scare all the hell out of you.
Yeah.
But, you know, could I say it's demonic? Absolutely not. I'm not going to say that because I have no proof to validate that whatsoever.
Right.
But, you know, I have been in investigations where people said they were possessed. And I had to document it, and I'm watching the possession. And I'm just like, this isn't really a possession to me because I don't see anything supernatural going on. You know, I just hear you cussing me out and trying to spit on me and, you know, the other investigators. And, you know, I'm just like, this isn't paranormal to me. I don't see anything supernatural going on besides you acting like an idiot rolling around on the floor.
Right.
You know, and throwing out profanity. So, yeah, that doesn't constitute a possession to me.
Yeah, my nephew does that. He's not possessed.
Yeah, little kids do that. You know, they're throwing a temper tantrum. You know what I mean? So,
you know,
like, I don't get it.
Here's where it's at with that. With the demons thing, I am going to speak to a demonologist, although I really did not know that was a thing, but it turns out it is. So here's my thing with the demons and the angels. There are good and bad everything. From humans, like in the animal kingdom, you see good and bad all the time. You know, So I think humanity, what religion, what happens is we acknowledge that there's a greater energy out there that created us. I call it the architect. Some people call it God, whatever, however you want to believe it. And you see something, you know, a dark energy, something evil. And the only rational explanation for humanity is, well, that's got to be the opposite of the great thing that created us. And so they gave it a name, Satan, devil, or whatever they want to call it. And that entity probably was like, wow, that's cool. I like that name. I guess I'll roll with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's a bunch of other dark energy out there like, hey, they're calling us this, so let's just go with this, and it's acceptable, right? So, because again, there's things that predate us that have probably existed here, and there's even things that were here with us. Like, listen, imagine this. We die, we go to, you know, to the next level, wherever that may be. When serial killers die, mass murderers die, they go to the same place.
Where they go.
Right. So, and so,
I mean, I've actually read something about like Ted Bundy. You know, he was electrocuted back in the 80s, right? So,
right.
They actually said that he survived death. Like the COs, the correction officers, were seeing him after he was electrocuted, sitting in the electric chair, and he even spoke to him. And the administration had told him, hey, don't tell anybody about what you're seeing or you're going to get fired. And a lot of them quit. They were going to the cell at one point where he was at before they electrocuted him. And he was sitting in the cell and said, and laughed at one of the correction officers and said, ha ha, I beat all of you. And this is quoted from a correction officer. He said, ha ha, I beat all of you.
Yeah. You know, energies like Ted Bundy,
he's a sick individual. You know what I mean?
He scares me more than the majority. I'll tell you why.
Yeah. He's a sick individual.
He's very outgoing. He's charismatic. He was a good looking guy. He was obviously getting girls to get close enough to him, but he was like, his personality shift, scary business, right? Or even like Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer did some fucked up stuff, man.
But yeah, he was totally freaking weird, man.
But he was meek, and he was not. He was an introvert, right? Where you had, like, Ted Bundy was an extrovert. And so that should let people know there's a flag. So, again, based on how they behave here, imagine this, a very determined evil on the other side. It doesn't want to go to the next realm. It's refusing. It's staying here. Like, for me, I'm a nostalgic person. I'm probably going to linger behind. I don't want to let this go. What are you going to do here all by yourself? I guess I'll just bother my old friends, you know?
On them, right?
Yeah. I mean, so you have to understand, like, someone like Ted Bundy, if he's determined for his energy not to, again, we don't really notice, again, we don't know, but if he's determined to stay behind, I have to believe maybe it's possible, because so most of the ghosts I think are here, and I've spoken to some people about this, like Roberta Grimes being one. She's like an expert in near death afterlife. When you die fast, like a gunshot or a car accident, or you fall off a building, whatever it is, your energy is probably here, like, what the hell? What's going on? And it's in a state of confusion, right? You get, because your energy essentially resets, but the core of what that energy is remains the same. So it's, I don't know, it's scary business, man. People like Ted Bundy are, if he's around, undoubtedly, he's definitely what people would call a demon. No question.
Yeah. I mean, over all the years that I've investigated, like I said, I've never seen demons or demonic things. I mean, if I can't validate it, you know what I mean? I have to be able to validate these things to a client. I can't just say, oh, yeah, that's a demon because you got scratched, or that's a demon because there's a foul smell. I've smelled a foul smell before in a house that was definitely something that I can't explain. But I'm not going to say it was demonic, but it smelled like a dead body. It smelled like a decomposing dead body. And, you know, that's all like supposedly the telltale signs of demonic, you know, something demonic in the house. Now, they were seeing a black figure in the house. We didn't see him, but we did experience the foul smell. And I try to debunk it. I'm a correction officer. I know about plumbing. I mean, I'm a construction officer. I know about plumbing. I know about electricity. I know about all kinds of things. So, you know, immediately I'm thinking maybe it's the drain. Maybe it's the sewer. I'm checking the sink. I'm checking the toilet. I'm checking for these smells. We're flushing the toilet, we're running the water, could not explain it. I'm like, I don't know what that smell is. But, you know, it would happen, and it would happen when we would read Psalms from the Bible, which was weird. And I'm not an overly, I'm Catholic, but I'm not an overly religious person.
Right.
You know, I don't go to church every week. I used to, but I don't do it anymore because, you know, over the years, you just kind of, life takes a different change with things. You know, you're busy, you know, so. You know, it was weird. I can't explain how it happened. I don't know how it happened, but it was there. I mean, it was, as quick as it was there, it was gone.
Well, and, I mean, you know, that is bizarre because now here's what you got to consider. If there are parallels to our existence, which I'm starting to read into more. If for something to cross through a portal or enter a different dimension, it's maybe perhaps ionizes the air around you. I mean, so the smells and the effects and what you see, it's very well likely it could be if it's something can figure it out, how to cross parallel, like parallel worlds, open small dimensions, of course there are going to be smells. It's doing something to the direct atmosphere.
Yeah, it's changing it.
And as far as like demonics, and that's why I want to get into that when I speak to the demonologist, because there's this thing people say, I hear it a lot, I see it on TV, like, oh, well, you know it's a devil when it's this, that, or the other thing. But the great, according to old scripture, and this is the devil, the greatest trick the devil did was, what was it, like convince the world he didn't exist, made it easier, easier for him to infiltrate. So there would really be no trace, right?
Exactly. Why would it tell you it's the devil? And I've had EVPs saying, I'm the devil. I recorded it. I have it. Now, this girl was afraid of the devil. She said she was afraid of the devil. She's like, I'm afraid of the devil. And lo and behold, we get an EVP saying, I'm the devil. You know what I mean? I didn't hear it at the time, but the camera caught it.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
It's like a cat and mouse game with the spirits.
Yeah. It's like, and it's totally unexplainable. You know, you're just like, how the hell did that happen? Why did that happen at that time? How did it happen? What caused it to happen? We don't know. You know what I mean? We have no idea.
I mean, as we are here, as we are there, David Koresh made people believe he was Jesus. You know?
Yeah.
So it's not, there's even other cults out there. What was that cult where they all put on jumpsuits and Nikes and they committed suicide? Yeah,
the UFO was coming down to get them all and they all drank poison.
So
they all drank strychnine or something like that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's the personality of the energy attached to whom you are is who you're going to be, whether it be here or the next realm. And if they hear a group of people, these are opportunists, by the way. These are people that when they walk in the room, they hear people like, oh, God, I would just do anything if I can meet blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to roll up, hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah. And if you're really charismatic and you're a great, you know, con artist, you're going to have a group of people following blah, blah, blah. And they're going to pay homage to blah, blah, blah. And if blah, blah, blah says kill yourself, well, you're going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And if that
weak-minded.
Right. And if blah, blah, blah dies and he's on the other side and there's a little girl saying, I'm afraid of blah, blah, blah. And he's going to be like, well, I am blah, 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 whatever it may be. Yeah. It's an opportunity thing for predator-like energies.
Yeah. I mean, what I've noticed over the years too, I follow a lot of stuff that Dr. Barry Taff talks about. He's a famous parapsychologist. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he lives in California, and he started a program back in the 60s, actually trying to make paranormal studies a science, but it was in UCLA, but it never happened. They had a UCLA paralab, but basically they were studying, you know, telekinesis and psychic abilities and stuff like that.
Right.
And this guy actually did the case, The Entity. And I don't know if you ever remember that movie that came out in the 80s. It was called The Entity, about a woman being raped by a ghost.
No, I'm going to write it down and look it up.
Yeah, check it out. It's called The Entity. It was out in 84, I believe. That's when the movie came out. Creepy movie. If you want to watch it, it's very creepy. And it's a true story, except for the ending. It's all a bunch of crap at the end. But most of the stuff that happened, it kind of happened in real life. But I kind of follow a lot of things that Dr. Taff has told me over the years. And he says that a lot of these things aren't really hauntings. They're not ghosts, which in some cases, I think he's correct in a lot of ways. He's very intelligent. And what he's basically saying is that these things are a poltergeist activity created by an individual. They're not really ghosts. They're being projected by an individual that has an ability in their brain to make things move, like telekinesis. When they have a stressful event, this kind of electric activity in their brain happens and something moves, a door opens, maybe an apparition appears or something like that. And, you know, in a lot of my cases, the activity is evolved around an individual and not so much a house.
Right.
True to that, probably about 90% of what I've done. He's done way more cases than me. He's done over 4,000 cases of paranormal investigation. And way, way more experience. I mean, he's been a paranormal investigator for 50 plus years. And been in some of the most famous paranormal cases that's ever been investigated, which was the San Pedro haunting and the Entity case. Those are two of the most famous paranormal cases ever investigated. And he was a part of those investigations, which is amazing. And I'm honored to actually be his friend, to be honest, because it's just like, he's one of the true pioneers of paranormal investigators. He's like the godfather of paranormal investigations. You know what I mean? He's the man.
Yeah. I speak to Steve Murr a lot. I've had him on a show a lot. Steve Murr's a parapsychologist, but he's kind of like everything. He gets in these really intelligent groups of people with these think tanks about, these subjects. I won't even spoil for on the episodes I've done with him. Just listen to it. Listen to that guy. Like every time I speak to Steve Murr, I lose sleep that night. I have to sit in my head to lay in bed and think, like, Jesus, man, now I got to think about this. It's an endless amount of, so I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
It's a scary thought that someone would possess that sort of power. Cause if they, at said point, they're getting scared because they think they're being haunted, but imagine if they knew they could harness it. That's bad. Yeah. Like human beings, bad for business, man. We can't be allowed to do that. I wanted to be a Jedi when I was a kid, move shit with my mind.
Oh yeah, me too.
And I can't promise you it was going to be for all good. So
yeah, I know, right? It's just, I tell you, man, the 20 years I've been doing it, it's been a hell of a ride. It's been an adventure, man. I'll tell you, it's interesting every time I go out.
What's a location you went to where you refuse to go back? Have you had one of those?
Never tell a client I'm not going to go back. I don't care how scary it is.
Okay, but there's a place that out there that's been out there like, well, I would prefer not to go there. I'll tell you why. I'd spoken to a scientist. I bring this guy up many of times. He was going to disprove something, and I do a lot of off podcast interviews to help vet and figure out who to speak to. And I found this guy, and he was very, very plain with me. What he saw, it troubled him to his core. It ruined him, wrecked him. Out of all the things he investigated, different paranormal scenarios, one thing he came across, he's done looking. It's period. And I asked him what it was. He's like, I just don't speak about it. He goes, I could just tell you there are things out there we should not know. And I was like, can you elaborate? Or he's like, I won't speak of it. So what I gather from him is if you come in contact with some of this energy and now they know you've been in contact, anytime you speak of them, they could, almost understand you're doing that. I mean, I'm not really entirely sure. So that's my one drawback. Like, what if I go out there and see something that's going to fuck me up? I can never talk about it. I can't help but to talk about it. So
yeah, I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah, it's troubling.
If there's one case I wouldn't go back to, that would probably be that Westminster case, the first case we ever did. I mean, I went back there a bunch of times, and the more we kept going back, more stuff started escalating, and it was to the point where, I was having really bad dreams about the place. Like, and I wasn't the only one having bad dreams about it. Don was too. And we never even collaborated on the dreams that we had. I never even told him about it until well after we had done the case. And I think our final night there is we were coming back from Lantern House actually. And it was around about 3 or 4 in the morning. I think it was 4 in the morning. And we had to drive by that house to go home, and I still had the key. And I was like, hey, man, let's stop in the Westminster case. What the hell, dude? It's 4 in the morning. What do we got to lose? And he's like, all right, let's do it. So we pull into the driveway. I stick the key in the door. I'm cool. I open the door. Bam, as soon as I cross the threshold, I got this really bad feeling like, man, something's bad is going to happen. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like this really overwhelmingly bad feeling I got. And I'm not a psychic. I'm not any of that. I'm just going on this weird feeling that I got. So I was like, where do you want to go? I was like, let's go in the back bedroom where we've had things happen. So, we're back there. And, I had a shoe rack come off of the door in that room. I was asking to do something. The shoe rack lifted off the back door, off the bathroom door, and slammed down, scared all the hell out of me, but not at that time. It was at another point. But we're back there and we're just asking some random EVP questions, and we start hearing this like this three snapping noises, like someone snapping their fingers, like in your ear, you know. And I'm just like, I'm feeling, you know, I'm just like, dude, this is not, I don't like it. And I didn't say anything to Don, but in my mind, I'm like, I'm not liking this. This is not, this is probably going to be the last time I come here. There's something not good here, you know. And I'm just like,
yeah, you get, you come across that energy
with it.
You know? Yeah, you come across the energy that's invested in you. All right, imagine.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, it's kind of like pushing the limits, man. You know, it's pushing it. We're pushing it. You know, I just felt like we were pushing it.
I just sent you a video, by the way, via email.
Okay.
I am trying to track this guy down. That in the beginning of that video, anyway, I've spoken about it on this podcast a lot. I can't seem to find this guy's name. Anyway, long story short, you know, I'm even going to link it in the description so other people can see this and they could comment on it. Maybe someone knows who he is. In this video, this guy is looking for, I think, a gas leak in the house or something abnormal with the it's broad daylight, might I add. This isn't nighttime, not a scary scenario. This guy's looking to fix something in the house. This is the story I got anyway. So he's in there. He's looking at the electrical panel. He's recording, kind of doing like a step one, two, three. And he, like really quick, something. Oh, yeah, that's right. He felt something and he looks over and he's, all these doors are open, the cabinets. And he's like, nope, nope. And he walks out. Like he was not expecting what. So a lot of these videos I see on YouTube, I can call shenanigans on a lot. I look for people to have an adrenaline dump. I'm a pretty brave person. And there are some pretty brave people out there. Even if you're vetted and you know, you're good at what you do, you're going to have a chemical response. You're going to have an adrenaline dump. Your breath's going to, you're going to change the way you breathe. You're going to speak a little more high pitch. But in this video I'm showing you, all of that's there. That guy, he is genuinely freaked out. And when I saw the entity, like they had to back it up and freeze frame and blow it up. You see this thing upside down in the hallway, I guess by a bathroom. And I put this through my computer and I tried blowing it up to see if it's like Photoshop or if it's fake. And I could, to the best of my abilities anyway, I couldn't figure out what it is. And it freaks me out. It's the one video on the internet that freaks me out. It's broad daylight.
I think that was on that paranormal caught on camera. I think that was on there.
I haven't seen that. I have to look that up. Before the podcast, before COVID, I didn't really watch this stuff. I saw that video for the first time, just before I started the podcast. And I was like, holy shit. That freaked, like, and when you run it through a computer, really powerful computer, you could 9 out of 10 times see where someone's faked something. Or there's been videos on YouTube where I saw the editing moment, even though I looked at the shadows and the darkness. I could examine those things fairly okay. I'm not great at it, but fairly okay. That video screwed me up. I mean, that you could see the absolute fear in that man. And I want to know who that guy is. I want to find him. I got to track that guy down. Because whatever that is, man, that's, yeah. I don't know. Like, have you seen the video, that thing in there?
Yeah.
It's freaky. That's weird. I'm going to put that in description for people to see. I'm going to have to, I guess, credit whoever it is. I don't know. It bothers me to watch that. And, like, even the title of that, what is it titled? It's just, I mean, this one's just, you know, 10 scary videos of encounters during paranormal investigation. This guy wasn't investigating. He was in that house for a whole other reason. He was there doing something to do with carpentry or something of that nature, right?
Yeah, yep.
So, I don't know, man. Like, that thing upside down, the way to face it, I'm getting chills looking at it now.
Yeah, it's freaky. It's freaky. You know, I captured something weird in on video, too, and it happens over, like, a 15-minute period of this black mass appearing and disappearing. It's on YouTube. You can go to the Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society and look up black mass. And it's under that.
All right.
It's
what was your take on awesome. It?
It's definitely something not normal. What's weird is that it creates itself and then disappears from nothing. It's creating matter and mass, and it blocks out the door jam. It's black and it's gone, man. Like, it just disappears into nothing. It's totally weird. And it's exactly what they described seeing in the house, which,
I mean, I
can't explain it.
That's what I need to get out there and see. Again, I'll tell you, I said this story on this podcast a lot. People listening are probably, fuck, man, not again. But when I was a kid, we would sneak out of the house and play manhunt. You know, we're in Florida. You know, the most dangerous thing out here in Florida at nighttime, alligators, snakes, red ants, you know, spiders, you know, normal shit that wants to kill you. So we're out here playing in this park when we're kids. We would sneak out, play manhunt, and every one of my friends like, oh, you see that? They are all pointing across the lake, or they said they saw shadow figures. So what do? I just start running. I ran because I had, even as a kid, I got to see it. And, you know, to my displeasure, there was nothing there. But that's who I am. So for me, when I'm here and there's a place that's a hot spot, I got to go. I got it. And not even just, I'm going to document it for people that watch, but for me, right? Because you get to that point in your life where you start questioning your mortality. And even though you hear from credible witnesses and investigators and, you know these people believe, and it's just, you know, it's not the same for you when you're the one that's not seeing it, right? You want to see it so bad. So hopefully I'll get to do that.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you're ever up our way, you know, definitely give me a shout, because you can tag along with us, man. We do a lot of paranormal investigations. So, I mean, and we're all over the place. We go as far, we've been as far as North Carolina and as far north as Ohio.
Believe me, I'll drop in on you, man. Everyone I'd spoken to on this podcast, like, they should know, like, when I begin travel for the documentary, I'm very realistic. I'm going to have the podcast on the go. This documentary, according to all I've learned, it's not going to happen. It's going to be a long, lengthy time on the road. So, John, before we close, let's talk about your podcast, where people could find it, and then some of your other YouTube channels, and, you know, so people get in touch with you or view your stuff.
You can listen to the Paranormal Journal on Podbean. That airs every Friday night at 9 p.m. I do go live. And if I'm not live, I'll have a show on there that I'll broadcast, maybe a pre-recorded one. Most of the time I'm live. You can reach me at the Paranormal Journal 18 at Comcast.net. I have a Facebook, the Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society, the Paranormal Journal. I do have a Facebook page for Paranormal True Encounters. If people want to post stuff on there, they can do that on Facebook. And I do have a YouTube channel. This is the Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society, which you can see some of our stuff on there, where you can see the Black Entity in Ephrata case on there. If you go to Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society, you just punch in Harrisburg Area Paranormal Society Black Mass, and it'll take you to that clip, and you can see this incredible video that we captured probably 15 years ago. Unfortunately, I had a negative filter on it, so the pictures are kind of grainy, but you can see the black mass forming in the closet and moving across the room. It does a lot of different things over a 15-minute period, and I slowed the clips down to show you how this thing manifests. Pretty awesome clip. And if you need to get in contact with me, you can always go through the Paranormal Journal podcast. You know, there's messages in there. You can come to my emails, which says the Paranormal Journal 18 at Comcast.net, or HAPS at Comcast.net, which would be HAPS@Comcast.net, and you can contact me through there as well. And we do have a website at HarrisburgAreaParanormal.com.
And I'll put links to all of that in description for people to find with ease.
For having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem. For everyone, I'm going to say goodnight. I'm going to talk to John in post, so we're going to probably talk about good stuff. You're not going to hear it. Tune in next time.
Thanks for joining, everybody.